that wasn't just about creating the product, but it was also about being able to sell the product, which in my opinion is a very different step than just creating an MVP. Being able to put it in someone's hands and get that feedback and get paid for it. That's basically the best type of validation that you could get.
Ahoy there! You're listening to Product FM, a podcast focused on everything you need to find product market fit. All right, so welcome back to a new episode on Product FM. Today we're talking with Erez Cohen, the co-founder and CEO of Knock. Erez, how's it going?
Going well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Great. So let's get started. Tell us a bit about yourself and about Knock, what you guys do, and give us some background.
Sure, amazing. So I'm Erez Cohen. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Knock. It's a prop tech company, a property tech based out of New York, and our R&D center and my co-founder are in Israel. We're disrupting the real estate residential leasing process, basically enabling people that are looking for their next apartment to tour multiple apartments without coordinating with an agent, physically enter apartments with their phone, being able to get off an Uber at the area that you want to live in, tour multiple apartments, apply and sign a lease all within one day and all within one single platform, removing all the friction basically from the renting process, which I'm sure you're familiar with as well. Prior to that, I started my career, you could say, in 8200. I've been there for 8 years. Both me and my co-founder originated from there. I've been an early employee in a couple of startups. The recent one before starting Knock was Signia. I moved to New York in 2017 as part of Signia's efforts to expand to the US market on ground. And yeah, I was looking for an apartment in New York and realized it's a complete disaster and decided to start Knock.
There must be a better way.
Exactly. That's it.
And stage is Knock at in terms of a startup?
Yeah, we are post seed. We raised 8 million in total, most of it during last year. So 2021 was a big year for us in terms of growth, both internally and externally with sales. And yeah, this year is going to be our A round. We're 24 people in total, a half in Israel and half here in the US, most of which are.
Can you explain why you think you saw this kind of growth or interest from investors during COVID? Was it because of the stay at home shelter?
Yeah, that's a great question. I want to say that there are a lot of ways to answer why now. I think that's maybe the question here. And I can divide this into two pieces. One has to do with user behavior and the fact that people not only want, but even expect this type of self-serving platform where they can go about their search, buying process, booking tickets, going on Uber, self-checkout. This is something that wasn't really the case even 5 years ago, and it became very big in terms of user behavior. It really makes sense to bring that type of experience to the residential rental process as well. That was here before COVID. I want to say that type of expectation from users to have a different experience, it could be better, exactly as you phrased it, exist before COVID. What was different during COVID was the flip side, the landlord, the property manager side of things, where they started to realize that it could be done differently. We started the Knock at 2018. This was obviously before COVID. It wasn't a COVID type of solution. But during COVID, landlords were just more open for new types of...
I think it was a pretty perfect timing for you guys that COVID happened. Everyone, both sides probably want to limit their interface with other humans. And all these self-check-in solutions were a big hit, I assume.
So we were, it's weird to say lucky in that sense, but we had a really good time in regards to expansion from the landlord side. So yeah, it really tuned the market in a way that it was looking to become more efficient. It was looking to create this kind of self-served experience as well.
Cool. Sounds really cool. So let's back up a bit before getting into the product itself. Tell us a bit about how you validated the problem other than trying to rent apartment yourself?
Yeah, I want to start by saying that one of the first resources, and there's like endless amount of literature out there regarding startups and how to start a startup. One of the first most meaningful pieces of literature I stumbled upon was How to Start a Startup, which is a Y Combinator program that was recorded in their videos as part of a collaboration that they did with Stanford University. One of those episodes, I think it's like 12 episodes. One of them was exactly about market validation. And what they spoke about and what I implemented was to talk with every single person that you can reach about your idea. And it's hard for me to say how important that is. It is a lot of people at the beginning, they're very afraid of their idea being stolen, right? Like, I have an amazing idea. The more you work on your startup, the more you understand that ideas are not scarce at all. Like, ideas are everywhere, and it's about implementation. It's about pushing through the friction of starting a company. And therefore, unless you're talking about a very specific piece of IP that could be very easily copied, and it is like essentially your business, you want to talk about what you're doing with every person that you can. And obviously people who are more relevant to the space. So for me, it was brokerages, real estate owners, and obviously a bunch of renters who are my friends here in the city that experienced the same thing.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, with the approach. And I see way too many new founders just going on the stealth mode route as maybe a default, which I think is, there are maybe special cases where it makes sense, but I think more often than not,
You're just missing out by not opening up with professional in the industry and other people who can be very resourceful.
I agree. Okay, so to validate the problem, you basically talk to, you know, people in that work in this industry and understood that it's a pain point. Right. Did you further run any kind of, let's say, MVP for a solution?
Yeah, we did. We were actually very set on creating an MVP that we even, for us, it was getting our first contract in place. So it wasn't just about creating the product, but it was also about being able to sell the product, which in my opinion is a very different step than just creating an MVP. Being able to put it in someone's hands and get that feedback and get paid for it. That's basically the best type of validation that you could get. So we were set to do that. We built an MVP, which was very basic. I can go into detail if you want, but it contained what is now just one component of our solution, which is the self-touring component. What we realized, by the way, and this is maybe important to say, is that there are a lot of different friction points within the leasing process. So there's the communication, there's marketing, there's evaluation of properties, lease signing. All of these things have places where you can jump in and create more efficiency. What we realized at the very beginning, and this is why we decided to do this as an MVP, was to take the self-touring component, which was also very disruptive at the time, and make that our MVP. So meaning that we would be able to just build around this experience where people can go and tour properties by themselves with their phone, without coordinating, without an agent on site. And at the time, we were selling that to brokers. So agents were using this in order to facilitate tours without being there.
Okay. So if I understand correctly, your vision in the end is to be a one-stop shop, one place which bundles a lot of components. And for the MVP, you saw that the first initial, maybe the easy win would be to launch this component of the self and then expand your offerings further down and up the value chain.
So you can say that. I want to say that there is a kind of a wall that we hit when starting to distribute this self-touring solution in a city like New York. And the wall that we hit is that although we realized that we're creating a bunch of efficiency, and by the way, basically reducing around 90% of an agent's time that is currently spent on traveling and opening doors and physically facilitating tours, we realized that a lot of agents are actually pretty much, they're not welcoming this type of technology because they realize that this has the potential of cannibalizing their business. So in essence, we built something that has value, but we realized that we can't really put it in the right hands for it to make sense from a psychological perspective. It was just about that. And those agents that were telling us again and again that they need to be there on site and that it affects the possibility of being able to rent an apartment, which throughout this time, we obviously proved that's not true. Not only that it's not true, we're able to rent apartments much faster using this type of experience and bringing in more foot traffic. But we realized there's like a psychological element here that is blocking us from successfully distributing this to every single agent in the city.
Okay, so this is interesting. So you're saying, although from a product perspective, this value proposition makes a lot of sense to the end user, there's a one stakeholder in the process, which is this agent who has a conflict of interest. Although he does want to make more sales and money, he also doesn't want to be obsolete, and which didn't help the process of the self-checkout.
It's exactly about that. It is looking for product market fit. And for us, it was a very interesting experience. And this is what we were starting to touch upon. It's not just about understanding what is a product that could create value to the system as a whole. So for us, this was like a very obvious yes in regards to creating value to the system as a whole. It's about having those stakeholders, exactly as you said, I think that's the right way of putting it into words, welcoming this, right? And it's also having good distribution channels, which is a whole different story, but essentially you want the people that are going to use this technology to accept it. And if you are aiming to disrupt a market, and sometimes you would find that you have stakeholders that are trying to push back because of that. And I can go further and say, what we realize is that we need to expand that value proposition and really build an end-to-end type of solution. And only when doing that, you're able to bring your solution to a different set of hands, which is the landlord in our case. So right now we're working with landlords directly. This is a kind of a pivot, although it was always our vision, but we ended up doing this during COVID. I want to say maybe 6 months into COVID, we took this time to build our end-to-end solution, basically a bigger set of gears that are all around the self-touring component that we originally built. By doing that, we were able to fit into this category that you would call a brokerage. And now we're able to interface with landlords directly as a brokerage and have them basically work with us. We're taking half of what a broker would take. So very easily, it's easy to say here, we're creating true value, right? We're reducing prices of this work by half. Obviously, we have much better margins as well. And above all of that, we realize that we're able to reduce what's called days on market, which is the KPI that as a landlord, you would look at. How long does it take me to rent an apartment? We were able to reduce that by 40% currently. So all in all, we did this kind of expansion of our value prop in order to put our product in different hands and being able to go to market more successfully.
Very cool. So the whole kind of stint where you worked with the existing brokers, that was...
Yeah, I want to say that I wish I was as smart as I am today about this going into it. We didn't really know.
The story sounds really smart. Tell them now.
Yeah, for us, it was our vision was to obviously disrupt the market and create this type of end-to-end experience. But we didn't realize that it would be so hard pushing this into real estate brokerages. And for us, we would love to work with brokerages. So I just want to say this. Brokerages are an amazing distribution channel for this type of solution, for this type of experience. Brokerages are able to become more efficient. There is still value that brokerages can have while working with NOC, which I want to say has to do more with coordinating and working with landlords versus with renters. So like a brokerage that would work with NOC would be focused on expanding their relationships, growing their business, scaling their business, and managing all of these customers. So the customer success piece would be delegated to this brokerage. And that's what they do best, by the way. They are really good at creating those types of relationships. But the whole process that is going inwards, talking about coordinating with renters, opening doors, answering emails, following up, all of that is done currently 99% is pretty templated and could be very easily just more efficient. But yeah, all in all, we realized with time that it is much harder to sell into brokerages than we initially thought.
So now you want these brokerages to be basically a satellite office of Knock, doing the localized customer support and customer success?
So I want to say that what happened during COVID is that we expanded, we became our own brokerage. So we have our own brokerage arm and legal entity and brokers who are working as part of Knock right now. And after going to market like that, we started seeing finally, this is 3 years into what we're building, we started seeing brokerages that are asking us about working with us. And we even very recently created a partnership with a relatively large brokerage in New York. This is very new, but this happened only after we were able to create this, I want to say, sense of urgency when talking about brokerages that are not part of this game, that maybe they want to consider shifting gears and becoming more efficient.
All right. Tell us a bit about how does the end user, someone that wants to rent a place, how does he interact with you guys? Are you guys a destination, or are you guys embedded in or a link inside the listing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And all in all, what we realize that we want to do is keep as much as you can, keep the APIs with landlords and with renters as similar as possible, as you can possibly do. And that also has to do with product market fit. We want to create as least friction as you can. With renters, we are marketing on traditional marketplaces because that's where they are. Everyone wants to be a lead generator and everybody wants to be this kind of go-to marketplace, but it's hard. It's especially hard when you're competing with these huge companies such as Zillow, that's the biggest one here, and with their marketing budgets and all of that. And the people that are looking for an apartment, they would look on those websites on StreetEasy, specifically in New York and Zillow and maybe Facebook and other places. So the way to interface, again, kind of like extending ourselves into existing interfaces, was exactly that. Part of our technology has to do with syndicating our listings to all of the existing marketplaces. So not only that we put our listings on StreetEasy, which is the biggest marketplace, we actually built technology to put our listings in all of the marketplaces, especially where, like, you as an agent, you wouldn't consider putting your listings there because it would yield only, you know, 3% of your leads. So why put in the effort of copy pasting the description and photos and all of that in marketplaces that would bring you 3% of the leads? It's just not worth your time. But when you're automating the process, it makes a lot of sense. So what we did here was first to list on all of the existing marketplaces in order to generate leads. After that, I want to say that we created a bot called Sharon. She is coordinating and working with these leads throughout the whole funnel. Sharon's job is really to make sure that you as a renter, it's not only about knowing what Knock is. So after you send an inquiry, you'd get a response from Sharon telling you that you're able to tour an apartment whenever you want without coordinating, without an agent on site. Sharon's job is to make sure that you're going through the whole process. So from inquiry to download, verifying yourself, physically touring the apartment, touring other apartments that are nearby within your criteria. So she would basically give you recommendations that are based on your kind of initial interest. And at the end of the funnel, she would ask you if you want to move forward and apply for the apartment or provide feedback about the apartment, which is a big thing that we currently provide landlords. So Sharon, again, our bot, is doing all of that. And what's cool about it is that people don't know it's a bot. So again, extending ourselves into existing ways of communication, Sharon communicates with renters the same way an agent would, with the only difference that she would send you to either go to tour by yourself, or if it's an occupied apartment, she would coordinate with the existing tenant that month that you have before you leave an apartment. She would coordinate that tour for you. But those people, those renters, don't know it's a bot. And that's not that we hide it, it's on our website, but it's cool that it's the case because they don't feel that they need to do anything different. We're not forcing them into a totally different process.
I like to say that the best technologies are invisible.
Yeah, I love that. It's exactly about that. It's being able to take one gear out and put a new gear in, and it turns faster and it's maybe cheaper, but nothing changes around it.
I remember a few months ago, I was interacting with an investor, an entrepreneur named, I think he's also in New York. And he CC'd his assistant to, help us schedule some time. And then we had a few interactions with her, and then she sent me some options. And I asked for a different option. And eventually it was booked. And then a few days afterwards, she replied to the same email. This was after the call, and asked something weird, like, when should we schedule? Mm-hmm. And then I replied saying that we already had the call. And only then I understood that she's a bot.
Yep.
I confused her with a really hard edge case, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because I hope we don't have those types of problems with our bot. I'm actually sure we do, but at the same time, it really is about complying with.
As long as the small percentage, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to ask you about, it seems like you have two target audiences. You're building kind of a marketplace play. So usually you start with either the supply or demand. In the beginning, it sounded like you're starting with the supply. Then mm-hmm. you're working with the brokerages and then the landlords themselves. But now you have all this interaction with the demand, or basically you're connecting to the existing marketplaces and they're bringing them.
And it's interesting what you're saying, because at the end of the day, our vision is to be the next generation of this rental marketplace. Imagine Yad Shtayim in Israel or Zillow extended all the way through lease signing. Now you would go on a website, it has photos, maybe a video, and it connects you to an agent. So we're taking that and connecting it all the way to be able to self-serve yourself throughout the whole experience. And essentially that is a marketplace. The decision that we took was to focus on landlords, on inventory, and not on demand, because demand is easily generated when you're hacking the system like that, right? You're able to generate demand the same way it's generated today. So you don't really need to focus on it. I want to say that the only assumption that is already proven by now, but the only assumption that we had going into this is that a person, like a renter, would rather download an app and go through the whole experience themselves on a one-off basis rather than coordinating with an agent. And I want to say not only that's true to the extent that we don't really have any people that are asking for tours, although we do provide that as an offering.
You mean a tour?
Yeah, a physical tour with an agent. Sorry. Exactly.
Yeah, I think we're already past the point where we don't always want as much human interaction as possible. We want much less. I recently purchased an apartment here, and a big pain point for me was I see the listings and they want me to call them. Or they want me to put my number and they're going to call me, which is even worse because it can come at any random time. And you can't really do it digitally. You have to interact with humans, and humans are a big question mark in terms of reliability. I'll probably say like more than half of the listings I reached out to probably fizzled out because of some communication issue with mm-hmm. the agent.
But the big thing that changed here, I want to say, and in the market in general, like if you go 20 years back, you have this salesman and they're wearing a suit and they're selling a car, and you would interface with them. You would come to whatever car shop and you would ask them about the latest model, how this model compares to Ford or Volkswagen. And they would know. You would ask them because you couldn't figure it out yourself. And you actually had to go through that salesperson in order to educate yourself. And what happened throughout the last 10, 15 years is that people are now exposed to basically all the information that salesperson has. So now when you're going to Best Buy, more about the latest Beats ear sets than the person who's working in Best Buy. There's no reason for you to ask them anything, because within a click of a button, you can figure out all the specs. You can see the most professional reviews. You don't really need them anymore. And therefore, the whole essence of having a salesperson, and this is true because otherwise they weren't there, is to upsell. If you're going to Best Buy and there is a salesperson, their only job is to upsell because you already know what you want to purchase.
Yeah, so there. I guess you can say that the classical salesperson had two jobs in essence. One was to educate the customer enough that they'll be comfortable and understand what they want. And the second was actually to just swipe the card and exchange money for goods. And you're saying now that there's the information is democratized and everyone can have a much better data-driven reviews, the education side of the salesperson's job is obsolete. And it's just about taking my card and, you know, telling me about the latest discount.
Exactly. And that also removes the trust factor that was there initially when, you know, that person is educating you. Isn't really there right now. So you realize that you care about your experience as an individual more than the person in front of you. And therefore, our generation and younger generations, they prefer to go about their purchase by themselves. They prefer to do it this way. Super interesting. I want to say another thing that has to do with that, because the disruption of the rental market is very interesting in regards to what we're talking about. And talking about the rental market, there are essentially two different parties. There's the renter and there's the owner. And originally, talking again, like 15 years ago, there were two agents, what's called a client agent and a listing agent. The client agent is representing you. And what's called their fiduciary responsibility is to you. They need to show you what is in your best interest. And then there's the listing agent who's representing the landlord. What all of these, what's called multi-listing services, all these websites that have listings on them, they democratized, again, the information. They're now showing people the inventory, right? Like actual photos of inventory and descriptions and all the different amenities and properties. So as an individual, you can finally go about your search without figuring out an agent that represents you, which is amazing, right? That is the first piece of disruption that happened to the rental market, where these websites, when you think about it, they deprecated the client agent, the agent that was representing you and was educating you about the current listings that are on market and what's coming to market. The second piece is what we're now really disrupting, and that's the listing agent. And it's much harder to disrupt because it has to do with the physical world. You're physically touring apartments. There's something that is just way more complex in creating that type of efficiency on the other end of the transaction. But this is exactly creating that platform that was half done today and completing it all the way through and creating that one marketplace where you're not only able to see inventory, but you're able to go through it physically, apply, sign a lease, do all the things that you had to depend on a listing agent for. You can do it all yourself.
Very cool. Very cool vision. I really love it. I want to talk to you a bit about tactics now and in running the company. It sounds from this discussion that you guys have a lot of different areas, different initiatives to make this whole thing work. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you guys are a licensed broker, which I assume has its implications on your resources. You mentioned you guys connect to all these companies, these listing companies. So I assume there's a tech team that handles API connections. You mentioned the actual product, which is a hardware product. And I'm really interested to hear if you guys are doing that internally or externally. And you have the software side, the apps, which also requires a big R&D team. So tell us a bit of how you guys are structured and, you know, how that works.
Yeah, you're touching a very important point. I want to say that we're doing a lot. And when thinking about how to define ourselves, we realized that we are defining ourselves as really building this type of experience. And it doesn't have to do with syndication of listings. It doesn't really have to do with hardware. It doesn't have to do with AI bots or leases. It has to do about redefining this whole experience. And when you define yourself that way, all of these different pieces could be either built in-house or swapped, for example, with an external software that we're using in order to do things. what we, and I want to say, we did end up building most of this technology in-house. So we do have a very few technology partners that are, you know, helping us build this end-to-end process. But essentially the big pieces, which are self-touring and AI bot communication, are things that we built in-house, syndication as well, analytics and machine learning. It's a whole other thing that we didn't talk about. We're doing all the things we need to do in order to create this experience. We created our own hardware, but we're not a hardware company. We're not defined or defining ourselves as a hardware company. If I could eliminate the hardware piece, I would. But we realized that we have to build hardware specifically in order to enable people to enter these walk-up buildings, small buildings that don't have doormans. We had to build this hardware device in order to set it up on every single building that we're operating in, because the alternative is just so much more expensive. So we created our own hardware. We also, by the way, integrated with the biggest smart lock vendors in the world. So if it's a building that has some sort of what you would call access control, we connect to it. That's amazing. Not only that's amazing, that's the future. In 10 years from now, most of the buildings would have some sort of smart access. Right now, that's not yet the case. And therefore, in order to be able to go to market, we had to build our own hardware device. But we do already see that more and more buildings that we are starting to interact with have a smart device that we integrate with. So that's like on the hardware end. And from a management perspective, it's always about finding your focus. And I want to say this, what I realized is that the best way of figuring out your product market fit is starting narrow. What is the smallest thing that you can build that you can deliver successfully to the market? And that's a hard question, right? Because everybody has a huge vision. Everybody's vision is to conquer the space, be the Apple of, you name your domain. The question is, what is the single smallest component that you're able to create as part of this huge vision that you're able to deliver successfully?
Yeah, an atomic component, which can be broken down even further.
It maybe can be broken down further, but you're not able to deliver to the market these like smaller elements.
Yeah, so it has to have a value proposition, which is... Yeah, I completely agree.
For us, it was this end-to-end solution, right? We started with these smaller components. We actually weren't able to go to market successfully with them, although they do create value very obviously. So we bundled them together and created what you're saying, a new atomic component, which is everything that we're currently doing. But by doing that, we're able to deliver it to market. And that's what we found the most successful way of doing it, while still keeping in focus. Because I can talk with you about all of these different things that we're not doing, rent payments, renewals, maintenance requests, all of the things that have to do with the residential experience that we're not touching. And the reason that we're not touching is that we don't need to, in order to go to the market successfully, grow, right? Do the best, be the best you can in your domain. And only then you really want to expand into kind of these new verticals that could take you out of focus.
Interesting. So usually one could argue that the unbundled method would actually be more effective to starting. So, you know, instead of a whole suite of tools, just develop one tool, make it amazing, and then expand. And you're saying that strategy didn't work too well. And only when you bundle the value proposition together, then you got more positive user reactions.
It's not about user reactions. It's about being able to sell successfully and grow in the pace that you want. For us, this bundle that you're talking about enables us to go to any landlord and say, hey, you're working right now with Joe Schmo from Compass, which is a traditional brokerage, in my opinion, in every way. You're working with an agent from Compass. Work with us instead. As a landlord, you don't need to learn anything new. Right? You don't need to know hardware. You don't need to understand machine learning, analytics. All of these things are things that are internal. They're like black boxed in a way when we're pitching landlords. But we say we are able to rent your apartments much faster and within half of what you're currently paying for your agent. And that pitch could only be created when you're bundling all of these things together. And that really is, you know, what I think when talking about product market fit is a real product market fit, when you're able to, like, in an invisible way, create technology that makes the whole system more efficient.
Okay, so you're saying to actually get your initial users, which is the supply side, you need to offer them only a pitch which includes the whole package, makes sense for them to go with. Any kind of point solution would just be not enough for them to care.
Yes, I am saying this. I want to say there's a bit more to this story. And what I can say here is that we are addressing a market that is dense, that is broker oriented, such as New York, other markets as well, Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, in many cases, are very much similar. When you're talking about many other places in the US, that's not the case. So if I were to go after what's called gated communities, these horizontal property areas where you have a bunch of like small single family bundled together into a gated community, these companies that own and manage those properties, they actually do want to see components because they are in charge of their own leasing process. They believe they want it centralized. They believe that they can do it better by having it in-house. And when you're facing that type of customer, they would want a self-touring component to add to their leasing stack. They would want an AI bot to add to their leasing stack, and so forth. That's not the market that we're going after, at least not right now. And therefore, we did what we did, which was bundling everything together and go out to the market as a broker.
Very cool. Okay, I think we're going to wrap it up. It was an amazing episode. I learned a lot about the industry, which is always fun.
Amazing.
And I also had some interesting ideas from my own startup, which are inspired by your process of product market fit. So thanks a lot for taking the time and coming to chat.
Thanks everyone. Thanks, Donald, for having me. And that's really a pleasure being here today.